this week's parasha, Parashas Korach. The parasha begins. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehos ben Levi v'dosan v'aviram b'nei Eliyav v'oin ben Peles b'nei Reuven. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, son of Kehos, took v'dosan v'aviram, v'dosan v'aviram, sons of Eliyav, and the Kedoshim Avir Bnei Eliyav, V'Oin Ben Peles, and Oin Ben Peles, Bnei Reuven, the children of Reuven. Rashi says, Korach began an uprising to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. He complained that Moshe and Aaron took for themselves all of the covet. Moshe, we know, took, he was Kain the Melech, Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, Chutzpah. To make things worse, Korach was jealous of Elitzafan ben Uziel, who was chosen as a Nasi instead of himself. Korach's father was the next brother after Amram the Bukhara. So Amram was the Bukhara, and then Korach's father was the next brother in line. Elitzafan's father was the youngest brother. He was the child of the youngest brother. Korach felt that he was entitled to this position before Elitzafan because his father was older. His father was the second in line, and his Elitzafan was the third in line, so he should get before Elitzafan. The pasuk begins, and Korach took, Vayikach Korach. What did Korach take? Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehos ben Levi, Vayikumu lifnei Moshe. What did he take? What did he take? The Medrash Pliya. The measure says, Vayikach Korach, Malokach, what did Korach take? Emes Lokach. He took Emes. Emes Lokach. Took truth. What does this measure mean? What is the meaning of this measure? He took truth? Korach took truth? Fakir, we say it wasn't truth. What does it mean, Korach took truth? It says in the Binas Nevoinim, appearish on the Medrash. What does the Medrash mean that Korach took Emes? The Rashi Tevis of Emes stands for Elitzafan, Mekoshesh, and Tcheles. It was regarding these three things that Korach started the Machlekes. Emes is what he started the Machlekes with. Well, what is Emes? Aleph is Elitzafan. As Rashi says, Korach believes he should have been chosen as Nasi before Elitzafan. That was his first Taina. Tcheles, as the Medrash says, Korach asked, he had a question. If an article of clothing that is made completely out of tcheles, would it need tzitzis on it? Right? You have a beggar complete of tcheles. It wouldn't need tzitzis. Why would it need tzitzis? We would say, Moshe would say, yes, you need tzitzis. Korach saying it's silly. The entire beggar is tzitzis. Why do you also need to have the strings on the corner that are also tcheles? And lastly, the Mekoshesh, Korach argued that Moshe had the Mekoshesh killed against Halacha. Korach had a taina. You killed the Mekoshesh Eitzim. You shouldn't have done that. The parasha of Tzitzis is in between the parasha of the Mekoshesh and Korach. We have the parasha, we have Korach, the parasha of Tzitzis, and then at the end, the parasha of the Mekoshesh, because it was about these three things that he was arguing. These three, Emes, Elitzafan, Mekoshesh, and Tcheles. If you want to remember what were the three main things according to the Binas Nevoinim that Korach was coming in against, these three things. It says in the Shachal HaTayr, Korach took Korcha, boldness. He took it for himself, and he brought boldness to the world. It was because of Korach that 250 people perished. Korach caused them to be blotted out from this world and the next world. That's what Korach caused. He was the one who rallied the 250 men with him, and it was all his fault. Vay al kichazu. Vay yikach, it means vay. Vay al kichazu. Vay means woe. Woe on this taking. Another pshat is vay kach. Gehenim is the same gematria as kach. So they take the word vayikach, and you say vay, that woe, unto Korach, kach, gehenim. Woe to Korach who took upon himself Gehenna. He brought upon himself Gehenna. That's what Korach did. It says in the Ne'am Megodim, Parsha Shlach. Pasuk says, Shlach lecha anoshim v'yosturas eretz kenan asher aninoi send of Nei Yisrael. Send, Shlach lecha, send away the exteriors of this world. When davening and learning Torah, one must act in a humble manner and not with haughtiness. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Adam Rishon was created alone, so that no one will be able to tell his friend that he is greater than someone else because his father is greater. My father is greater than yours. We all come from Adon Rishon, same father. Ultimately, we all come from him. Nonetheless, we see people who think they are better than others because of their yichus. Zaktanayim Megodim. It is pure silliness. Pure silliness. That she explains with a mashal. There was a banquet with only important people attending. It was an exclusive VIP banquet. Only you got a special invitation. You were a chosher person. We were invited to this banquet. Someone came to this banquet and he said he's going to explain to them why he was important and what his yichus was that he should be entitled to come to this banquet. He said that he is the son of such and such person. A person of great stature and honor. He says, I'm his son. Therefore, he as well is entitled to honor and respect. Right? My father is great. Therefore, I should be respected as well. The people knew Taka that his father was a Ben Torah and deserving of honor, and therefore acceded that he is entitled to honor. Okay, maskim. Your father is a Taka, a big gadol. Your father is well respected. Okay, you're entitled to come to the banquet. Second person came, and he says, I too am entitled to come. You want to hear what my time is? He said that the clothing that he was wearing was purchased from such and such a person, a person of great stature and honor. He purchased Yenem's clothing. It was a great tzaddik, and he bought his clothing. And he's wearing it. These are the clothing he's wearing. So by virtue of that, he thinks he's entitled to come to this banquet. He's now a chosher himself. The clothing were nice and expensive, and the taka may have been bought from a person who deserved to be honored, but the people at the banquet did not see how that entitled this person to receive honor. They really, I don't know. Yeah, he has the clothing, he might have bought it from a chasher person, but therefore he should be entitled to come? They weren't sure. A third person comes in. He's dressed wearing tattered clothing. He looks like a beggar off the street. And he says, I should be coming to this banquet. I belong here. You want to know why? He said, I got this clothing from the garbage bin. I bought it in a yard sale. This also used to be a chasher person's clothing. But he looked like garbage. The second person looked chasher. He was wearing chasher clothing. He inherently looked chasher. He bought clothing that was chasher from a chasher person. That was his time. This guy mamish looked like a beggar on the street. Definitely didn't belong by a prestigious banquet. The people at the banquet laughed at this person. They said the second person was a fool. Nicely they said he was wrong just because of the clothing. And the third person was a double fool. Nice clothing does not entitle a person to honor, no matter whom he would think that people at the banquet, no matter who he purchases from. No matter who he purchases from. Certainly one that does not even have clothing fit to wear at a banquet is not entitled to the honor. The double fool. The second guy, at least he's wearing clothing that's befitting the banquet. The second guy, mamish didn't belong. This is the marshal. He says, from this marshal, one would think that the people at the banquet were correct in the assessments of the three guests. He says, however, they were not correct regarding the first one. The second two they were right about. But the first one they were wrong. Why? There are three partners in the creation of a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his father and his mother. The father and the mother provide the different parts of the guf of a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the ruchnias, the kedusha, the neshama. The guf, what's the guf? The guf is clothing for the neshama. That's the guf is. The first guest as well was only seeking honor because of clothing. Because of the guf, because his father was chashiv. The guf, he got it from his father and mother, he got his guf. But that's the clothing, that's right to the clothing. The same way that they understood, the people at the baker understood, the second and third person should not be given credit and should not be given honor and prestige because it's just clothing that they were wearing. The person, the first person's also wearing clothing. It's just the guf. The father and mother give him the guf. Nothing more than clothing. One should never become a Baal Gaiva. We all come from other Marishan. Each person has to work on himself. The neshama, which we was given by the Baruch Shalom, not look at his quote-unquote clothes to try to attain honor. But someone shouldn't be a big shot. He has yichus. Yichus is clothing. Clothing is not a reason for you to get honor. You have to work on yourself. Everyone has the opportunity. It says in the Chaim Toiv, Moshe says that a great miracle will occur. The earth will open up and swallow Korach and all of his men. With this miracle, it will be known that this was not from Moshe, rather it was directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't Moshe against Korach, it was Rabbeinu Shlom against Korach. Why did there need to be a miracle on such a grand scale to occur? In fact, the Chaim Toiv. Why you needed such a great miracle? Moshe did not take personal offense from Korach and his men. He forgave them for their personal attack. Didn't care. However, for Kavod Shemayim, he did not have the right to forgive them, and therefore they needed to be killed. It says in Kehelet, there is nothing new under the sun. Had Korach and his men been killed because of Moshe, it would not have occurred to a phenomena that had never occurred in the world. If that was the reason, because of Moshe. By there being a miracle of this caliber, unbelievable, the ground opens up, swallows him alive, something new that had never occurred in the world. This was new, yeah, it was in the Bria Yisraelim, but it was new, it never happened in the world after the Bria Yisraelim. It proved that it was directly from the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's why it had to happen. A regular nation, a regular thing, they would have died. Okay, so that was against the covenant of Moshe. Moshe didn't care about his own covenant. He cared about Kavod Shemayim. Moshe was a great honor, took no personal offense. However, for Kavod Shemayim, it had to be demonstrated that what Korach and his men did was against the Rebbeinu Shalom, and they needed to be punished appropriately. It says in the Kind of Dekers from the Stipler, what's not going to answer to Korach's question? Korach wants to know, if I have a talus that's made completely out of talus, why isn't it good enough? Why do I need strings? Zuck the Stipler. He says, an article of clothing, even if it is made of talus, does not exempt it from tzitzis. Why? Because the one who wears it has personal benefit from it. If I'm wearing a bag, I have benefit from it. Although it is made of tchelis, the one wearing it does not gain the spiritual benefit of wearing tzitzis because of the personal benefit that he has. He's having a personal benefit from wearing his beged. You're having a personal beged, you can't have the same spiritual, the same ruchnius, the uplifting of ruchnius. The tzitzis that we have, they're strings, they don't protect us, they don't do anything for us. We don't use it as clothing, we don't have no from the tzitzis. From something we don't have something personal from, that's when we can have ruchnius. When one wearing tzitzis looks at them, he's only reminded of worldly pleasures and not the spiritual benefit of reminding him of the Kisei HaKavod. Pursuing personal pleasures of this world and pursuing spiritual advancement, Dr. Stipler, are diametrically opposed. So when you look at you're looking at tchelis, if you're looking at a whole beggar of tchelis, it's going to remind you of your worldly pleasures. Ah, it's a piece of beggar, it protects me, this is what you think of. When you look at your tzitzis that are not your beged, and you look at it, it's supposed to remind you, I have no use for this. This is in the 613 mitzvahs. This is the Taryag mitzvahs. And that's what's supposed to remind you of it. Vayikach Korach. Targum translates those words, V'ispala Korach, and Korach split. Korach took MS and split it. That's the pshat. He took MS and split it. Not that he took MS. He took MS and split it. There is an neshama of a person and the guf of a person. In truth, the integral part is the neshama, while a guf is nothing more than clothing for the neshama. Korach took that truth and split it in half. He focused on the half that is not the main part, the guf. He felt that he deserved honor because of who his father was. Guf, like we explained from the name of God, Guf. His thinking this way proved beyond a doubt that he was not worthy of honor. This proof, this is a proof that he was entitled to the honor, to the covet, because of the way he thought. He totally distorted the truth and caused strife amongst Klal Yisrael. I found a very fascinating of Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Kehilas Yaakov, in his Drushes and El. He says like this, Vayikach Kairach. He wants to know what is Kairach talk. He quotes a Medrash, a Pasuk in Mishlei. He says, Kairach, he says, as Nifsha Mikiryas Ois, Ze Kairach She Posha B'Toyra, She Nikras Ois, and Merit V'Yorit Kvoide. He was Peshaya in the Torah. He says like this, Rashi says, Shelokach mekach ra la'atzmai. Kayach took a mekach ra for himself. A mekach ra. He made a bad purchase. What is it? What purchase did he make? Effective Shlomo Kluger. What did he do? What purchase? What's the mekach? Mekach ra. Bad mekach. He says if it's on the goof of the machoikis, he made the machoikis, why is it called a mekach? Zop Shlomo Kluger. It says a pasuk in Mishlei. Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem, a lekach toiv. What's a lekach toiv? Toirasi al tazavi. Do not forsake the Torah. You know what mekach is? Mekach is a Torah, referring to the Torah. Al tazavus a mekach shenosati lochem. Hareda Torah nikras mekach. Torah is called mekach. V'ne'amu chazal kach se v'zois ha-teira she'sam Moshe zocha nasis lo'sam chayim v'gemar yuma. If someone is zoicha when he learns, it is the elixir of life, the sam chayim, it's a potion, a medicine of life. Lo'i zocha, if he's not zoicha, nasis lo'sam ha-mav, it becomes elixir of death. It's poison. V'lekach yesh lo'im ha-teira v'lekach mekach toiv. One has to take Torah and he has to take a Mekach Toiv. V'yesh lehem Torah v'lokeach Mekach Ra. There are those that take a Mekach, take the Torah and take it for bad, Mekach Ra. V'hainu, how is that so? Shemi shehavi yiras chetoi kodemas l'chochmosa. One who first has fear of Hashem and then chochma, lokeach Mekach Toiv. He takes a good Mekach, that's a good purchase. And one who has chachma before, it's a bad purchase. Like it says in others, called Shiras Chate Kedemas Chachmasa, Chachmasa Miskayemas. So he's explaining that Kairach, this person could learn Torah. Torah is the most amazing thing in the world. It's the Sam HaChaim. It's the elixir of life. But also, Chas V'Shalom, it has the potential to be the elixir of death, as we see by Kairach. Why did it happen to Kairach? It happened to Kairach because he didn't learn Torah for the proper reasons. He didn't learn it with Yiras Hashem first. He learned it for the Chachma. And he says, not only that, he says, Rav Shlomo Kluger, V'zeo sh'oma v'ikach Kairach sh'lokach mekach ra la'atzmai, da Torah sh'loma hi sh'gavu l'ro, the Torah that he learned caused him to do it. If he would have been Am Haaretz and never learned Torah, he never would have done what he did. He never would have gone up against Moshe. It was for a carrot because he learned the Torah, but he learned it in a skewed fashion. He didn't learn it with Yira first. He learned it with Chachma first. So Gormalei wrote the Zorach and Asa Sama Moves. For Achlof he's ever kosher. Measure he declared and Asa Sama Moves. The Kachisva Vavad and Mohavi Koyer Chlema Teira. But he would teach for Haskalu. He wouldn't have been confident to go up against Moshe. Koyer for the grace of Tamil Chacham. He knew a lot. He knew the Teira. That's what gave him the Koyer to say, oh, I can go up against Moshe. I'm as great as him. That was his downfall. A person learns Torah and is learning it for the wrong reasons, it becomes a Sam HaMobis Chas V'Shalom. A person first has to work on his Yiras Hashem. Why am I learning the Torah? The Torah is the most important thing in the world, but it's the Yiras Hashem. That's supposed to grow. If you do it that way, it's a Sam HaChayim. It's an elixir of life. Kairach took for himself the elixir of death. How we can put it together, we know Torah is also called Emes. Torah is Emes. Moshe Emes, Vesayrasa Emes, Yaakov is the meat is Emes, which is Torah. Torah is Emes! Vayikach, you want to know when it says in the Medrash Pliya, Vayikach Koyach, what did Koyach take? He took MS. He took the Torah. But he distorted it. Like the Targum says, Mispalik, he cut it in half. He took the wrong part of the truth of Torah. He first focused on the wrong part, the Chochmah, didn't look at the Yira. And that's what caused his whole downfall. It says a little bit later in the Parsha. On the next day, Moshe came out to the Ohel Moed, and behold, the staff of Aaron from Shevet Levi had blossomed. It was a big test to see whose staff had blossomed, and it was Aaron's. It brought forth a blossom, sprouted a bud, and almonds ripened. That was the order. Vayig Moshkedim is the last thing. Koyach and his followers claimed that Moshe and Aaron were taking an unfair share of leadership positions. The Rebbeinu Shlom performed a miracle, and they were all swallowed up alive by the ground. Klal Yisrael still seemed unconvinced that Aaron should be the Kohen Gadol. Pilei Pilei, you look in the parsha, you pay attention, it's Pilei Pilei. The ground opened up and swallowed those who did not believe in Moshe's leadership of the nation. Koyach, the 250 people, they're gone. A nace nigla, we said it was a great nace. Something that never previously, that probably didn't happen regularly, that the ground opened up, swallowed people, killed them. Unbelievable. And after all of that, we have to have later in this parasha, this whole thing about to prove that Aaron's, his staff blossom stuff? And you need another nace? That they believe. The ground opening up, which seems like an even greater miracle than this thing with the blossoming, that they, okay, we're not sure. We're not convinced Moshe and Aaron are the real deal. He shows the staff that he grew stuff. I don't know, maybe he put on the chia pet stuff, and it grew. Who knows? I mean, you want to say nace, you want to say he had some magic. There's things you could say, but it's amazing. You think about it, it's unbelievable. What's Taka the Pshat? The Ramban says, Klal Yisrael claimed to Moshe, Atam Hamisim Zam Hashem, you have killed the people of Hashem. Klal Yisrael now believed that the kahuna was to be for Aaron and his descendants, and the fire already went forth from before Hashem and consumed his offerings. However, Klal Yisrael still believed that the Bechoris, the firstborn, should be the attendants in the Mishkan instead of the Levim. That was their taina. This way, each shevet of Klal Yisrael will have a part in the avodah in the Mishkan, right? The Bechor is in every shevet, is the eldest. The Bechor. They felt it seems fair. Al Shevet Levi means only from Shevet Levi, but if the Bechor do the avodah, do what the Levim are doing, then every part of Klal Yisrael, shevet and Klal Yisrael will have an opportunity to be part of the serving. This was Klal Yisrael's complaint to Moshe and Aaron, like the Ramban. That's why he had to have the second miracle. Moshe and Aaron killed the people of Hashem because they told them to do the avodah of a kohen. They said, you killed those people. The 250 men, you killed them. Why did you tell them to do the avodah of the kohen? Since they were not kohanim, they died. The Rebbeinu Shlom performed the miracle of the staff of Aaron Leves Levi. The pasuk stresses, Mata Aaron Leves Levi, Aaron from Shevet Levi. His staff was the one that blossomed. This was a proof that indeed the position of being attendants in the mission was to be Shevet Levi's and not the Bechor's. So they knew that Aaron was. They weren't questioning that anymore. They were questioning just in terms of the Shevet Levi being the Levim or the Bechor. Zakter Achaim Apeidish. Pasuk says, it shall be that the man who I shall choose, his staff will blossom. And Aaron's was the one. Klal Yisrael still did not believe that Aaron was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. They reasoned that the death of Koyach and his followers was well deserved because they went against Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to know why they died? Because they went up against Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them for Moshe's honor. But they still did not believe that Aaron was to be the Kohen Gadol. It wasn't a proof. You want to say it's Pilei Plum, it was Nisan, and it was tremendous. You're right. They reasoned, you know why? Because they deserved to die because they went up against Moshe. They were chutzpahdik. They deserved to die. But does that prove? I don't know. It could be they deserved to die, but Aaron still shouldn't be the Kohen Gadol. So this had to be done so that Klal Yisrael would know that Aaron Shtak could be the Kohen Gadol. It says in the Ayin Giborim, Vayetze Perach refers to the first Beis Hamikdash. Vayotzei Tzitz refers to the second Beis HaMikdash. Vayigmo Shkedim, the three different parts, refers to the third Beis HaMikdash, which should be built speedily in our days. The Torah is telling us that the kahuna was to be for Aaron and his descendants for the first two Beit HaMikdashes, as well as the third and everlasting Beit HaMikdash. That's what the Pasuk is Meramis to, these three different parts. It says in the Yidei Yisrael, Umat Aaron B'seich Matoysim, Aaron's staff was among their staff, he was in the middle of all their staffs. Rashi explains that Aaron's staff was placed in the middle, so that no one should say it. The reason that Aaron's staff blossomed was because it was closer to the Shekhinah. They were put closer to the Shekhinah. Oh! The Kedusha is there, it's not because I was Aaron's, it could have been anyone's. But Derech Rem, as he said, is only one who puts himself in the middle of Klal Yisrael. He nullifies himself to Klal Yisrael. He is zeichet to have Kedusha bloom from within him. Fakaret, Aaron putting his staff in the middle showed us that he's mamish unity with Klal Yisrael. He's one. Someone who does that is taka zeichet that Kedusha blooms from him. Aaron was a true honor and was therefore worthy of taka being the Kohen Gadol. It said in the Divrei Yisrael, Hein guvanu, behold we perished. Says the Pasuk in Shemay says, Hey, the Hein lo yaminu, and behold, they will not believe. Moshe says that Klal Yisrael will not believe him. Why does it say Hein, which is a Lashon Nekeva? It should say Hein. Hein is them, the men, the people. What's Hein? Hein is a Lashon Nekeva specifically. Chazal tells us that every letter has a partner, except for the letter, two letters, Hey and Nun. The Baal Gaiva has no partner in this world. No. Like it says in Gemara and Saita, Rabbeinu Shlomo says that him and the Baal Gaiva cannot be in the same world. The Torah uses the Nun, Hein, in these instances to represent those who do not have partners. Hein Gavanu, behold we perish, Vehein Lo Yaminu, because they didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. Thus Navim would not listen to Moshe because they were Baal Gaiva. Korach and his followers were Baal Gaiva as well. The Hey and the Nun don't have partners. The Aleph is partnered with Tess, the Beis with Ches, the Gimel with Zion, the Dalet with Vav. The Hey, the Five, has no partner, the Nun has no partner. It's a, well, sometimes we could say it shows oneness. Over here it shows, he's explaining, Baal Gaiva. I don't need anybody else. I'm myself, I don't need anyone else. That's why it's called Hein Gavanu. When talking about negative, and Hevehein Lo Yaminu, and they, Chayisol, did not believe in Mizak Moshe, that's Hein, the Nun. It says in the Keren of David, Moshe brought out all the staffs from before Hashem to all of Bnei Yisrael. They saw, and each man took his staff. As I said in the positive, the cause of the machlokes with Korach and his followers because they did not recognize their true value. They all believed that they were worthy of greatness. They therefore fought with Moshe and Aaron. They all thought they were great. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Aaron's staff to blossom, they all realized that Aaron was worthy of greatness and not them. That's what they realized. Each man took his staff. Each person realized his worth and took his staff. The position that was truly his. You don't have to be great. You have your tafkid. He has his tafkid. Aaron HaKohen was greater than the rest of them. You have to know where you stand. It says in the Radak, by nature, first it should have sprouted a bud, the staff, then blossomed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made wonderful miracles which were the opposite of natural order of nature to increase the greatness of the miracle. The Chaim Taif says, normally a bud first sprouts and then blossoms. He has the same point as the Radak. He says, the Torah first says Perach, for it represents Aaron. Vayetze Perach, Perach is Aaron. Aaron was the blossom of the tree and was on the greatest level of Kedusha. Afterward, the bud sprouted representing the Levium. Perach was Aaron. That comes first. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, the Pasuk already says, Vihine Perach, the Aaron staff blossomed. Why does it need to repeat now? Vayetze Perach, and it brought forth a blossom. Already said it. Vihine Perach, Matos Aaron, Beslai, Vayetze Perach. We said it already. Klal Yisrael were thinking in their hearts that maybe Moshe took a staff that had blossomed, written Aaron's name on it, and brought that staff out to show them. He came out, oh, look, this is Aaron's. Perhaps that had Aaron's name was still sitting in the oil, dry without any blossoms. This was not really Aaron's. Aaron's was sitting in there. Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that this was in their hearts, so he made a miracle within a miracle. Vihine Perach, while in the oil, Aaron's staff blossomed. Vayetze Perach, Vayetze Vihim Moshe, and after Moshe took it out of the oil in front of Klal Yisrael, the staff blossomed anew, sprouted a bud, and Aaron was ripe. And it happened again. To prove to Klal Yisrael, don't think that Aaron's first staff, they should see that Aaron's staff was Aaron's staff, and it sprouted again. The Ritva says, the Gemara in Yuma, the staff of Aaron was hidden with its almonds and its blossoms. The Gemara is telling us that the Pasuk says that almonds ripened, some of its flowers remained on the staff as it was. By nature, when the fruit ripens, the flowers fall off. If you look at the thing, there's flowers first, and the fruit comes out, the flowers fall off. The Baruch Hashem did something that goes against nature to make the miracle great. The Ma'arik says, why does the Pasuk say Leves Levi? Not the Aaron Leves Levi. There were three things which occurred to Aaron's staff. Had all three not occurred, there still would have been doubt as to who was supposed to occupy which position. Perach is meramis to Pirchei Kuhuna, the Kehanim Hadjoitis. Tzitz is meramis to the Kohen Gadol, who wears the tzitz on his forehead. Shkedim is meramis to the Levim, who are Shoitim B'Shemim, who are working the shifts in the Mishkan. The Pasuk says, Levei Slevi, teach us. And Aaron, a Kohen, who was from Shevet Levi, is to be the Kohen Gadol, as well as Shevet Levi being the attendants in the Mishkan. Now we can understand why the miracle was needed like this. The Koyach of doubt, thinking doubt, is a very great. Koyach created doubt in the minds of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps Moshe was not being completely objective and he was giving the positions of cover to his family rather than to those who truly deserved it. Doubt, maybe Moshe doing it. It took Klal Yisrael much time to believe Moshe Rabbeinu. And Koyach came along and recreated all of their doubt anew. Moshe had to prove it and prove it, and he finally proved it, and Koyach came, created doubt again. Koyach did a terrible avos to Klal Yisrael. Once he created doubt, you don't realize, you have someone that's strong in something, you create doubt, tremendous Koyach on top of them. Once he created doubt in order to return Klal Yisrael to where they were, each and every detail had to be proven, and it was correct, and then Moshe Rabbeinu did everything according to the Ratzon Hashem. You want to know why we needed this miracle again? Because the creating doubt in someone's emunah could be so great. Moshe worked so hard to get it, but by creating doubt, every single point had to be explained to the T to say, oh, we're now strengthening in our emunah. We have to work on it to keep our emunah at all times and not let any doubt, because when someone starts to have doubt, it's very hard to reprove it. Have a wonderful Shabbos.